Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. This is the reading of God's word. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. The eyes of to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your Spirit will teach us your word, that he will give us an ear that would hear your voice through your word. Oh Father, we desperately need your word, the heavenly manna. Just like if we don't eat, food will die. Without your word, the heavenly manna will die. But Father, we thank you that you are so faithful in providing your word to us. And we live because of you. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, let our faith grow and grow. And with that growing faith, let us believe. And let us love our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your people and receive all the glory. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we are looking at the letter to the church in Laodicea. It will take today and the next Lord's Day to look at the whole letter. Today we will go up to verse 19 and we will look at the rest of the letter next Lord's Day. Please remember that even though it was sent to the church in Laodicea, through it, God is speaking to you and to me. He is speaking to our church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It is the word of God that is given to you and to me. Let us begin by reading verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this: Our glorious risen Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God, or NIV has it, the ruler of God's creation. Jesus Christ is the Amen. Isaiah 65 verse 16a says, Because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. The phrase there, the God of truth, is literally the God of Amen. Yes, our Lord is the God of truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, For as many as are the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Therefore, also through Him is our Amen, to the glory of God through us. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Amen, and through Him is our Amen, to the glory of God through us. He speaks the truth. He is the truth. And without knowing Jesus Christ, no one will know the truth. And He is the faithful and true witness. It is what the people in Laodicean church are not. If you read the letter, it is very clear that these people, most of them, are not faithful and not true witness. But they are called to be like their Lord. We must be like our Lord. And in Him, we are the faithful and true witness. No, we are not talking about you being a good street evangelist. The faithful and true witness, He is the one who with His life witness what is the true Christianity, with His life witnesses how is a citizen of heaven really looks like, with His life shows the true picture of the reality of our eternal salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. The true witnesses are not some people who live their lives according to the world and time to time go out in the street to do some evangelizing. The faithful and true witness is someone with his or her life, the whole of life, witnesses Jesus Christ and the heavenly reality that Jesus has accomplished for him or her. It is someone who does his best to show with his life the true picture of our glorious heavenly life that Christ has accomplished. It is someone who with his life shows the reality of Him being united to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is also the beginning of the creation of God. Now, some heretics will use this verse to prove their false doctrine. They say that this verse shows that Jesus Christ is a created God, not the eternal creator God. But here the meaning is the same as what we saw in chapter 1 verse 5. He is the firstborn of the dead. He is the beginning of the new creation. He is the ruler of all the creation. He is the inaugurator and the beginner of the new creation. We have already looked at this when we looked at that verse, so let us move on. Verses 15 and 16. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth, or I will vomit you out of my mouth, in other translation. Being a lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. What kind of condition does it point to? I guess we could describe it in many ways, but let us try. When it comes to the truth and the spiritual matters, they are indifferent. They are not concerned. Jesus Christ and His truth is not that important, not that valuable in their lives. Oh, everyone is excited about something. So that is not the problem. Because we are excited about something. But when it comes to the truth and the spiritual matters, they really don't care. Jesus, they say, is important, but their life says He's not that important. And even when they perform religious acts, they do them reluctantly. Their heart is never with them, with those religious acts they perform. And according to verse 17, they are nevertheless satisfied with themselves and satisfied with their condition, they completely misunderstand. They are never ready to obey God with all their hearts, but they are always ready to compromise with the world. I mean, you could see it, they're ready. They are neither cold nor hot in witnessing that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is everything to us, that He is our King in everything. But, they say, in verse 17a, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. You could see that they are rich and wealthy worldly. They have no problem committing spiritual adultery with the world. And they are completely opposite of the church in Smyrna that we saw already. The people over there in Smyrna, they were faced with severe persecutions and poverty. But here in Laodicea, people have compromised with the world and failed to witness that they are the faithful and true witnesses. They misunderstand the worldly wealth to be the true blessing of God, and they are satisfied with their sinful state. They live according to this world here and now. That's all they care about. Heaven, well, that's something we have to wait. But here and now. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. Verse 22a, it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. That is the state of lukewarmness. A dog returning to to its own vomit. We saw this in the book of Exodus. Even the Israelites, they came out from Egypt and they were heading towards Promised Land. And you know what true meaning of that is, that they come out of the world and they're heading towards heaven. But these Israelites, they wanted to go back. Go back to Egypt. And they were talking to themselves how life was so good when they were in Egypt. A dog returning to its own vomit, the Bible says. It is worse than the state of cold as far as Jesus is concerned. The state of lukewarmness to Jesus, it is nauseating. It makes him sick. That's why he wants to vomit. I will spit you out of my mouth, or I vomit you out of my mouth. Leviticus chapter 18 verse 28, God says to the Israelites to obey him so that the land will not spew you out should you defile it, as it has spewed out the nation which has been before you. But God spitted them out of the Holy Land because of their sins. Let us go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 12. But go now to my place which was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer, therefore I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave you and your fathers, as I did to Shiloh, I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brothers, all the offsprings of Ephraim. As for you, do not pray for this people, and do not lift up cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you. So in the Old Testament, we have same language. Because of their sins, God says, I will spit you out of my mouth, or spit you out of the Holy Land. It is complete abandonment. Brothers and sisters, think about this situation. Is there any worse situation than this? Any more pathetic situation than this? That Jesus Christ wants to vomit them out of his mouth, but they think they are the best thing that has ever happened to the church of God. Can you think of any more pathetic situation? But this is what was happening in this church. And I told you that God's word is given to the church, local church. which has non-Christians as its members. So these warnings to the church is serious. It is truly serious warning. No, we're not talking about losing your salvation. Once you're saved, you will always be saved. We believe perseverance of saints. But how can you show to the world that you are truly Christian? That you are not this person that God says, I will vomit you out. So even to true Christians, of course, Jesus will not vomit you out, but it is a serious warning to us too. Because God is calling us to be hot. This lukewarm state, especially for Christian, is wrong. If they're non-Christian, then what can they do? They will be like that and God will spit them out at the end. But Christians to live like that is really, really wrong. So of course, if you are truly Christian, you're not going to be lose your salvation. No, that is not what we're saying here. But we have to take this warning very seriously. Verse 17, because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Boy, do you see how different the way that the world sees things and the way that our God sees things? These people actually see themselves as rich and wealthy and they don't need anything. Everything is so perfect. But God sees them as a wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked. See the difference. Complete contrast. And this is very, very important point. We must see things the way that God sees. Because if we start seeing things the way that the world sees, you're going to be in big trouble. Because they are the complete opposite to one another. These lukewarm people, they are like the hidden lamp. Jesus talked about hidden lamp. It's complete waste. Why you want to hide the lamp when it's dark? The salt that has lost its saltiness. Again, completely useless. They have become completely useless to God. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. No glory of God, no glory of heaven, no glory of salvation that Christ has accomplished for His people. They never witnessed the reality that there is the better world, far better than this world. They easily, too easily compromise with the world and live as though they are of this world, that they belong to this world. And we're talking about people who go to church. Because Jesus is saying this to the church. And the church must take this warning very seriously. Yeah, you might be able to just brush it off if you think that, oh, Jesus is talking about the world. But remember, Jesus sent this letter to the church. But what I just said up to now is not the central to my message. Because I'm here today to preach to you the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, see the amazing grace of our God. The amazing love that God has for His church. The long suffering of God for you and for me. He could just vomit them out and done with it. But that is not what we see here. Our Lord advises His church. He advises you and me. Verse 18 says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. The eyes of to anoint your eyes so that you may see. A solution. God gives the solution to their being poor, miserable, wretched, blind, and naked. Amazing grace. Don't you see it? Jesus says, buy from me. And that is very important. Yes, only from Jesus Christ our Lord. Only our Lord Jesus Christ can give you these things. You will not find it in any other place. One must come to Jesus to get them. As we read this verse, we are reminded of Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Even if you don't have money, you could come and buy these things. Meaning that even if you have no righteous whatsoever, righteousness, you could still come to Christ and get His righteousness. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. So let us go to Jesus Christ and get these things. Gold refined by fire. This refers to the faith that overcomes the world. Let us go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. are you? You are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're going to have many trials, difficult times, sufferings. Why? So that the proof of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. James chapter 2 verse 5, listen my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? This gold also points to the wealth we pile up in heaven. And also in Malachi chapter 3, it is said that the Messiah will come and purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. This refinement is to remove sins. Through suffering, God will refine our faith. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You want to be rich. Then participate in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And lay up your treasures in heaven. Brothers, listen to what God says to His church. Do not despise the true blessings. And white garments, he says, to come and buy white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. When Adam and Eve sinned, who covered their shame? And with what? First, Adam and Eve, they tried to cover their shame with their own effort, and they could not do it. That's why they were hiding, because even though they were covering, there was shame. But we see God killing an animal. By killing, we assume that blood was shed. And there's a picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you. And with that garment, with the skin of that animal, God covered their shame. And I want you to notice that they were covered with the skin of animal before they got kicked out. Before they got kicked out. It is the garment that has been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we are now clothed with His righteousness. Revelation 16 verse 15, stay awake and keep his clothes so that you will not walk about naked and men will not see your shame. Again, we saw this before. Wake up. That phrase is referring to waiting for Lord's return. So here in Revelation 16 verse 15, keep, stay awake is connected to keeping his clothes so that we will not walk about naked and people will see our shame. It is connected to heavenly hope that we must have as we live here on earth. And eyes off. To anoint your eyes so that you may see. John chapter 9 verse 39, and Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Yeah, in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind. And through that event, he shows how blind we are, sinners. But Pharisees, they say, "We're not blind." Jesus says, "Because you say you see, you don't see. You are blind." But you and I, we confess, before Jesus came to us, we were blind. And because he came, now we see. I mean, can you just, you know, I picture this. This is so ridiculous if you really think about it. These Pharisees, they're standing. And who is standing right in front of them? Who is standing right in front of them? God. Right there. So close. And yet they don't see. They do not see Jesus Christ, the Creator God. They're so blind. And they're so blind to the truth, so blind to the reality of heaven. And with their blinded eyes, they see themselves as rich and wealthy and perfect. They really do not see their shame, how poor, how miserable, how naked they are. But you are not like them. Sin has blinded sinners' eyes to see God and His glory. But now God gives to His people the eye that sees and the ear that hears God and sees God. And God gives this through His Spirit by His Word. Jesus gives us the eye that sees the truth, eyes that see Jesus Christ. That is why you see Christ even as you worship Him. No, we're not talking about this physical seeing. Because if you only see through your physical eyes, then you are blind. But if you see through your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your faith, now you see. But people only with their physical sight, they are truly blind. You just come to Christ. And in abundance, He will provide these things for you. Verse Verse 19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. We do not have time to look at this verse in detail. We'll do that next Lord's Day. But let me end with this. I want you to see the love of God for the sinners. The amazing grace of God. You know what we see in this letter? Is that even though this lukewarm people makes him nauseating, and yet Jesus Christ loves them. He loves them. Jesus loves even those who make him sick. And here he gives them the opportunity to repent. This amazing grace of God. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12 verse 17 says. Hebrews 12, 17 talks about Esau. And it says this, for you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Grace was not given to Esau. Esau I hated, Jacob I loved. Even though Esau sought for with tears, the opportunity for repentance was not given. But brothers and sisters, today, now, the opportunity to repent is given to you. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 7b, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you hear his voice through these words, giving you an opportunity to repent, do not harden your hearts. Repent. Brothers and sisters, repent of your lukewarmness. Hebrews chapter 4, let me just read to you verse 1 and 2. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. It is talking about the Old Testament people. As they were traveling through the wilderness, God's word was preached to them. And it says that you believe God, then you will enter the rest, enter the promised land. But those words that they heard did not profit them, because they did not unite those words with faith. Again, in the Old Testament, these were covenant people that God was speaking to. Not the world, but covenant people. But some of them, and by reading of our understanding, most of them did not unite what they were hearing with their faith. I beg you, brothers and sisters, if gospel is being preached here, unite what you're hearing with your faith.
Do not harden your heart when you hear his voice. And the author of Hebrew gives you this example of those people. What happened to those people who did not unite what they're hearing with their faith? It gives you example what happens to those people who did not believe, who hardened their heart when the opportunity of repentance is given. Oh, brothers and sisters, how can we prove to the whole world that we are already entered that rest, that we are already citizens of heaven? How can we prove to the whole world that we are not the ones that God would vomit out of his mouth? How can we prove it? Repent. That is how. Repent. And you will never be spitted out of his mouth. Never. Because by truly repenting, you have shown to the whole world that you are already in that glorious land. That you are already a citizen of heaven. That you are already a son of God. No, God is not asking you to live a perfect life. He knows you can't, but you do live in Jesus Christ. If you unite what you're hearing with your faith, but no, we're not going to live a perfect life, but we could always repent. Do not harden your hearts. Jesus Christ, so that he may have the sweet fellowship of heaven with you, is standing outside the door of your heart. And we're going to look at this verse more in detail next time, but Jesus is standing in front of your door of your heart. Because he wants to enter so that he may have fellowship with you. Now, brothers and sisters, how long will you let him stand there and not invite him in? No, we're not talking about, you know, inviting him in so that I'll be saved. No, no. This letter is written to the church. We're already saved. But after we're saved, God will never force you to have fellowship with him. Because he wants to have fellowship with you when you are eager, when you're willing. Because otherwise it's just forced, and that doesn't mean anything to God. And he is standing outside the door of your heart, knocking, because he wants to come in and have fellowship with you, to eat and drink with you. How long, brothers and sisters, will you let him stand there? Will you let him stand there all night? Let us open and let him in and just have sweet fellowship with him. The fellowship that you and only you and God knows. The sweet fellowship of heaven. He says to you, repent and be zealous. Let us obey Him. Let us repent. Otherwise, you witness that you are not His, and that He might be standing at the door for a different purpose. James 5, verse 9b, behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Jesus says to the seven churches, for five churches, He says, repent. And to the other two, He says, hold fast what you have and be faithful until death. Hear what Jesus says to the church. Repent, 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 and repent, and hold fast what you have and be faithful until death. Hear Him. Do not harden your heart. Hear His voice. Let us then truly and thoroughly repent of our sins. And let us hold fast our faith. And by His grace, brothers and sisters, let us be faithful until then. I know you love Him. And because of the love that He has given to you, you will hear Him. And you will obey. That's why we're His true church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to repent. And we know that You do not give this opportunity to anyone, but only to Your people, only to Your sons. Oh, Father, let us not harden our hearts. Oh, Father, let us repent and be zealous. Let us stop being lukewarm. Oh, Father, who cannot even handle the thought of making You nauseating because of our sins. Forgive us, and by Your grace, let us be zealous and be true and faithful witness. Rather, let us believe how we are already true and faithful witness. Let us witness the reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us to bring glory and honor to You. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.